Blog Talk Radio.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, look. Human life in a tight crunch, hypnotized 9-to-5 world. Yep, that's right, the paradigm sucks. Improvise, but the vibe is forced. Break it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, make analysis. Chant it down, all the fallacies. Chant it down, you've been lied to. Chant it down, we see right. Can we metamorphosize to it like a lamp for shedding light to it?
Live from the Hawaiian Islands, it's Chant It Down Radio with your host Lumis of People Beyond.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Chant It Down Radio. This is episode 27 of Chant It Down Radio. And are you chanting down out there? My name is Lumis. I'm a true speaker. I'm your host. And I'm helping the world to chant it down in a different way, in a new way, and hopefully a unique way, but just doing it from my corner right here, out here in the Hawaiian Islands. And welcome to Chant It Down Radio. If it's your first time, I'm your host Lumis, and this is now episode 27, which been a while since I did a show, and just coming back into it again. But if you're a first time listener out there, this show is for everybody from the very awake to those that are just starting to figure out what's going on here on planet Earth. And I talk to all on this show, and it's just a platform, it's a release, it's a lot of things, and it's just a way for me, myself, a true speaker and an observer of life, and a lot of things I try to bring to the table to just bring it all right here on Chant It Down Radio. So welcome to episode 27. This episode I call The Money Trance, and it is a continuation of what I call the series of shows, The System Tentacles. And The System Tentacles are a series of shows it's like a step-by-step program of eliminating the things in our life that basically taking away the things in our life that are bad or that we need to chant down. The things that are actually in plain sight, but you never really knew they were there. It's a process of elimination, the system tentacles. And I've done past shows, and I feel that because it's a step-by-step progress here, and if you're just catching it now in the middle of everything, it's best to go back and listen to the beginning system tentacles. Starts at episode 15. Episode 15, we get into the media and how it controls us and how it controls us down to everything to our thought patterns and just basically our belief systems in general for a lot of things even come just straight out of the TV screen. So listen to that episode. Episode 16 gets into the food and nourishment show. That show is a really great show to eliminate the bad out of your diet, take in the right nutrients and all that. And that's a breakdown of that, and that's important also. You should check that out if you haven't. And then also episode 17, I believe, is alcohol genocide, and that's another thing people put in our bodies, and just the overall breakdown and chant down of how we poison ourselves all the time, trying to escape this reality, and it's kind of all these things dovetail, as I'll explain in a minute. But then you get into episode 19, which is about excitotoxins, specifically some of the ingredients that are in our foods that help excite our brain cells and kill them and have a slow residual effect, but eventually create the dumbed-down population that we do see today. And then we have episode 21. 21 was the health industry. I call the wealth industry because it's not about your health. It's about their wealth. And it goes through, you know, the pharmaceuticals, the vaccinations, the Western medicine that's designed to keep you sick. And then that one, by the way, needs some more listens. I don't really look at my listens too often because I really don't care. But I noticed that that one hardly got any listens, and I think that that one, that show really deserves a listen, especially if you're into this series of shows. And then got into, let's see, episode 24 would be the Operation Indoctrination, all about the schools, all about what they, the programming that we get from a very early age in the school system, industrial brainwashing camps, a.k.a. schools. And then the last System Tentacle episode was episode 26, which is Occupational Hazards, and that's about the jobs we do every day and how the jobs keep us from being free humans. And that one is definitely a must listen, I'd say, as well. And as you see, they kind of progress and get into more deeper subjects and more a breakdown of the things that we just consider normal. And I think it's something that if you have not listen to the beginning ones and you're just kind of waking up to what's going on in the world, then it's probably best to start from the beginning and go all the way up and build so you don't catch it in the middle and not understand the chant down. What I'm saying in so far is all very basic, but it's all about the little things that are in our lives. The system tentacles are kind of like a vine, a pretty vine that just starts growing up a tree, and oh, isn't it pretty, oh, it looks nice, but slowly chokes the life out of the tree. And that's an analogy of what all this does to us. So what we're doing is we're eliminating the bad. We're looking at the negative, yes. We're taking it out of our lives so we can see who we really are. So by the end of this System Tentacles series of shows, we will be able to get into more of the interesting topics here on Earth, like, who we really are. People beyond, I call it. We are people beyond the norm. We are people beyond this system. But humanity forgot. We forgot. And so we are, it's to be like a reminder and a reawakening of who we are. But it's a process of elimination. So today we get into the money trance. And we have still much to go in this series of shows. I've been absent from the radio for a little bit here. Not anything wrong, just I've been busy. And busy life gets in the way. I don't have a lot of quiet space in my life, and so when I can and when I have the space, I like to do a good show rather than a half-assed show. So add to that technical difficulties have kind of held me up for a while. So here I am, about a month and a half later. But I'm going to try to do them a lot more frequent than I have been. But can't expect too much out of someone who does a radio show for free. It's all good. It's a great work in itself. But anyway, listen to the other System Tentacles and it's just jumping in for some maybe too extreme depending on your level of wake up. But definitely listen to them. And this radio show is kind of a way for me to put on the cape and a chance to be Superman, because I'm Clark Kent most of the time in life, and I have to be. And so for me, this is just my little space and my little way of just putting on the cape and being full force and not holding back. It's my little way of venting, and it's a work in progress, but it's nice not to be Clark Kent all the time, and so and for me, it's a way of release if I can. And I've spent a lot of my life doing some sort of release, and I think everybody deserves to have that release, especially if you're awake and you just can't find that little outlet. Music has been mine for many years, and still continues to be, but pretty much on the back burner with music for now. Be back into that, you know, as soon as I can. But life's busy. And the reason why? Well, we have to work. The reason why? We have to make money. And that's what I'm going to get into in this episode here. So this is kind of like a continuation of the last show I did, Into the Jobs. And all these system tentacles dovetail with each other. They all interconnect. I've said before the analogy. It's kind of like tentacles, but with wires attached in between each one, because they all have their similarities. They all feed in or spill into each other, and because it's all connected, it's the system. It's this giant octopus network that is just surrounding us, and, you know, one by one, we peel them off and say, no, we don't need this, no, no, no. So process of elimination, and it's just showing our true stuck position. You know, whether you like it or not, we need to know. So we know where we know where to grow. And that's just the way that it needs to be done. And, you know, I don't do this for anything but to share information. I've been brought a lot of great information in my life. It just showed up at my doorstep, basically. It's just fell in front of my face. It's come to me without looking. And so here I am as a person that likes to then regurgitate, spit it back out, and give you my take and the people beyond perspective. And so not doing this for popularity. I don't care who's listening. I don't care if I have a bunch of listens or a few listens. It's all about, you know, just sharing this information. Do with it what you will, all right? So just have fun with it, but that's what I do too, you know. This is a paradigm shift-driven show. So one of the things about this show is when I say things like the last episode talking about your job, or, you know, and how we need to, you know, chant that down. Well, we're looking at life from a perspective that it needs. This all needs to be abolished. We need to be free of these shackles and chains and be completely free humans. And so in order for that to happen, there has to be some kind of paradigm shift. And I'm speaking from that platform, even though not even in sight is that happening, or not even in the distance do I see a paradigm shift, at least happening by humanity. The wake-up, honestly, is not big enough, but growing, good, yes, but not big enough and deep enough. It will take an earth-changing event, pretty much, or some very restrictions, big restrictions put on humanity for humans to fully wake up and grasp this. But it's okay, because what's going to happen is going to happen, but we also need to be proactive and go out and do what we can. It's not going to happen by meditating. It's not going to happen by expecting the Calvary to come. No, we must do our jobs, and we must look at our shadows. So that's just a little rant. But, hey, you know, this is what the show's about. It's about the paradigm shift. It's looking at Earth from that perspective. It's awareness of what's not right in our lives, but is right in our lives, you know? So this show I call The Money Trance, and it is what the world is under, is a trance. It's under this hypnosis. It's under this deep trance. And the reason why that people, you can't even shake them out of this, they're in such a deep trance. And there, of course, all these system tentacles play their role, but what is the fuel for the fire, or the fuel for us running on the treadmill, is the money. And it's a trance. Now, the word trance, the breakdown of the word trance, it means, or it denotes any state of awareness or consciousness other than normal waking consciousness. So it's an alternate consciousness. It's like a software program that we're all under this kind of trance. We're all under this spell. It's like we've been cast a spell. And to keep us there, of course, they rely on the media, the school system, which has embedded so much structure already to be part of this, and of course us being workers every day, and to keep us there, the different foods that stole us down, and alcohol, and all that, which I've gone through. But add to that the fact that we are humans that have become this small box of what we used to be. Of course, using only having 3% of our DNA activated, half our brain, mainly the left brain in this world, but 10% of the total brain being used. And, the list goes on, the electromagnetic pollution, everything that is coming our way to keep us locked in this. And money is what keeps us doing this life. I mean, money is what keeps us going to our jobs every day. And it is the fuel for us, or let's say the carrot on the stick that we follow. It's the bait. And even just breaking down words like the word business. There's a sin in the word business. It's true. It's right there on its face. Or, look at the word believe. Believe in the system. There's a lie in the word believe. It's just that we've been shown to be part of, it's a sickness. And much of the sickness and raping of resources and crime and malnourishment are due to money, and mainly specifically the central banks. Now, of course, this is not an attempt to go into the explanation of where money came from and all this, but if you don't know the story of how the Federal Reserve came into existence in America, and the global elite, and how they run the world behind closed doors, and it isn't even that hard to find this out. But if you don't know all that, I recommend you go do that research on yourself. I'm assuming that most do, or if not, will after this show. But see, I'm not here to break down money because I'm not that smart. I'm not. Money to me and the whole financial and this the whole stock market, the whole thing is the finances in general are like a foreign language to my brain. And honestly, I don't care. I don't feel like breaking down some boring show about just money and what happens. But just know what the central banks are. The central banks are the elite bankers of the Western world who really run things behind closed doors. Very simple, the maybe a country decides to borrow money from these banks for a war, and then they have to pay back that and interest, and always in debt to these banks, who then start taking control of the country, and they choose who gets put into power in that country and how things are run, because when you own the money, you rule the world, and these are the global elite. And that is just how it goes. But the global debt to these banks has almost reached a point where the interest alone cannot even be paid back. So people, the world is in debt to these bankers, and so when a war happens, or I should say a takeover of a country like Iraq, Libya, to name a few, Afghanistan, all this war on terror or whatever you want to call it, it's all about putting in the central banks. It's all about putting in that financial system that has all started basically from the Federal Reserve System. So take a look at that. But to live in this world, we have to have large material objects like houses, cars, maybe if you want yourself, if you have money to buy a boat, or all these different things. And these are, of course, not cheap items. So we take out loans to pay for these things, and we work to pay it back. And there goes into our slavery extended, because people want to live more than just the life that is basic. And I can't blame people for wanting to attain what they feel like they deserve, to be able to own a house rather than rent it, to be able to pay a car off rather than, you know, have this something over your head, a debt. But they make it unlivable these days. So you basically have to take out a loan to own a house, and it's not really yours, it's the bank's. And so we work extra hard for these things that are not just going to come our way if we don't. And it depends on the income bracket. I recommend, if you have not listened to episode 13 of Chant It Down Radio, it's called the Rich Poor Paradigm. And that is a good show that's sort of just on its own, not part of the system tentacles, but definitely dovetails with all this really well. And it's a great supplemental show to what I'm talking about here on how you view money and how you look at the world, because it depends on what background. And I'm not discriminating, but it's just that if you came from money, then you will have less of a chant down. And it's the truth. You'll have less to actually kind of relate to with this show. That maybe you didn't have to take out that loan to buy that house because mom and dad paid for it, that kind of thing, which is a totally different perspective to, foreign to myself and to many out there. So maybe I'm a little biased on the show and more speak toward the poor man, the poor people out there, or the people that are working hard just to live. But that's where I can find those that chant down much easier than I can those that have had it handed down and they never chanted down, if you know what I mean. But in our civilization, see, lots of jobs require making more material. So you take out a loan to get these big objects, and making more things requires taking resources from the earth. So, no, I'm not an environmentalist, but I think everybody should be looking at what they're doing to the earth, raping it and destroying it, and that is our land base. That is where we get our food and water. People totally forget. So, yes, I do look at it from that perspective. I do care for the earth and the environment. I just feel like that whole train of thought needs to be re-chanted down, because a lot of people out there have had the implementation of the actual global elite's way of looking at it through schools. And so listen to another show about that. Don't get off subject. It's so easy for me to go all over the place with this kind of topic, but I'm trying to stay on topic. But so it requires making more things or taking more things out of the earth. And then the bank print more money to the expanding debts. So the more, you know, it's a perpetual cycle. And then creating more money means inflation and devaluation of the currency because of this creating more money out of thin air. And the more debt, the more resource extraction. So the more we take out of the earth. And banks only make money by loaning out money. So they must continue creating debt to survive. So it's like this animal eating up the earth. So it's related to the environment destruction in a way. And of course, the global elite know it can't last. And they made this flawed system on purpose. So eventually, they can put in what they want. And that would be, of course, the microchip. And that goes into extreme things here that I won't get into totally on the show, this episode that is, but not afraid to go at all. Just the fact that, yeah, if you do enough research, you don't even need to do a lot. Just check out what the global elite want. Yeah, it says in, you know, different writings. Check out some of the things Albert Pike says, the Freemason, or check out these different manuscripts and just start reading it, thinking about it, process it, But basically what they want is a microchip society. The microchip, they want it in us. It's pretty obvious. If you look at how the money system has gone, mainly just the digits on the screen. And we're stressing over these digits on the screen, which I'll come back to. These numbers. That's it. But they know it's flawed, and they want to change the chessboard. They own the chessboard, but they want to change it. So they want to implement. I mean, they're probably going to come out in some way or some form, kind of like, hey, yeah, money does suck. You know, we should just get rid of money. And they'll put somebody in there of popularity, some puppet, you know, possibly Barack Obama, or, you know, whoever is, leading this world in as a popular icon. That's why I mentioned Obama, just because so many people, you know, look at him as, oh, he's this different guy up there. Wow, you know, and that it's going to take that kind of person to convince humanity to take the microchip. But more likely, it's going to take a catastrophe. I'm sure of that, to really want to take the microchip. But that's where it's going, and so the global elite know that. But let's take some steps back, you know, and I'll get into that on another show, I promise. But for right now, I think if I just go off on that limb, then I lose the focus here of the money trance. But see, that's where the money trance is going to take us, because they got it addicted to this life and the way it is. And so if some catastrophe happens, and, like, you know, it's things are turned off for a while, and they're going to be like, hey, don't you want the way things were? Don't you miss the way they were? You can still have it, but you got to take the chip. So, you know, it's going to be something like that. And I mean, of course, prophesized in the Bible, and, you know, many, many different prophecies in indigenous cultures. And, you know, you just take a look at it. If you think I'm being some, you know, paranoid nut out there, no, I'm just speaking the truth, and the truth is the truth. But I also kind of have to say, as a side note, just comes to mind, is Apple, you know, the Apple products. How everybody's addicted to that next thing coming out. Hey, when's the next iPhone coming out? You know, it's like the next thing. I think that this whole phone device, this whole everything in one device, has something to do with that addiction to going, okay, yeah, I'll take the chip. It's just something to think about. Plus, you know, just the symbology of just the bitten apple, you know, the whole connection of the Bible and that symbolism. It's just funny how that is. It's funny how that works. But little side rant. But what this money trance does is it just creates this world also of competition. And I really look at competition, and I wonder, you know, is it really healthy? Is it, you know, of course America says it's healthy, you know, competition. Yeah, because it's pushed out into the media and all sorts of forms, if you really take a look. But competition means, say you have this great idea, this new idea that nobody else has done. And, yeah, you do it, and you put it out there, and somebody steals your idea, and they make more off of it, and leave you broke, because they took that idea, and they added to it, or had, you know, a better business mind, and there you go, you lost your idea. It creates this environment of wrongdoing. It creates an immoral life, money. It causes people to act different. You know, it causes people to you know, step on their brother just to get up one, and that's the problem. Is it creates this gold fever, like you could say, just like when the miners used to get gold fever. You know, they would get greedy, and they would just be this obsession. And money's a religion. It is. It is the religion of the planet. It is what people believe in much more than their actual gods, because they have to live through this system which has been put in by the global elite. So that's who they really worship, is money. But, you know, money just causes I mean, it causes families to bump heads and break apart. I mean, you know, maybe two brothers go into business together, they lose their love for each other, which should never be lost, but over money, over this survival. Money equaling survival. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'll go back to that too in a little bit, but it just to undermine someone else to up your salary. It's just this competitive world out there that causes people to be immoral, that causes people to do things that they wouldn't do otherwise. So it is part of the trance that I'm trying to chant down here. And you know how they always say, like, never mix business and pleasure. Never go into business with your friend. And it's true, don't, because you will lose that friend because you get so wrapped up in survival and you know, then you lean on your friend like, hey, man, you know, can you just loan me a little more money and I'll help you out later? And it just becomes this big problem. Money is a problem. It is a problem, and society teaches us to be competitive. As you see, a world of sports. Now, I have nothing against sports. I think more people just need to be playing sports and not playing it through the television, not living vicariously through these athletes when you could be out there just having more fun. But it's the competitive edge that sports breed, and it breeds this culture. You know, and next thing you know, somebody gets their teeth knocked out over a game. You know, and just the commercials, you look on the television, I mean, this goes into the media tentacle, just you know, the competitive market out there, you know, that Coke and Pepsi or whatever, you know, just trying to up on somebody else. And it's embedded within, it becomes embedded within society. So everybody's trying to, you know, be this competitive people. And it's not human. It's not. It's not human to be that way. There might be aspects of that in the natural world, but nothing even near this crazy trance that we're wrapped up in. Not even close. It causes this competitive mind causes idiots at, you know, somewhere like a party, or I'm just, you know, I see it all the time when I go places like that. You know, idiots trying to prove that they're right. You know, just because they want to prove that they're right, even if they're wrong, they will fight to teeth and nail till they are trying to prove that they're right. You know, some drunk moron in your face trying to tell you how right they are, and, you know, just the dumbness of that whole scenario. But just that competitive edge, and everyone, everything is always a competition, especially in America. America is the epitome of that. I mean, you know, I can go somewhere, and I'll just maybe go to some people's house, and you know, they get in some kind of like, no, see, this is how it is. See, I told you, I proved you wrong. That kind of attitude, it's just, it's embedded. And, yeah, well, that's what America's all about. It's just this competitive business and stuff. But we got to take it two steps, turn it on its head, and chant it down. You know, take a good look at this whole thought process of competing, you know, just to survive. Now, what we need, again, in our lives, very simple, food, water, shelter. That's all there is. And friendship, love. And do you see really this world? None of that's free. So we have to pay to exist, and we have to, we basically don't have those relationships with our loved ones. So it is a very backwards world, very, very backwards, and very mixed up, very confused. And this competition is not natural. So I'm just chanting that down within money, because money is not a natural way of living. It is I'm just going to say, like I've said before on this show, it's an unnecessary step in survival. to go away for a whole day from your land base, from your house, which most people don't live in houses that they really grow food around anyway, but to go away from your family, and of course money isolates us and brings us halfway across the world away from our family because maybe some better job is there, and then to go all day and waste your time at some job and come home all tired just to have the same things you could have in nature if we all knew how to live in it again. So it's an unnecessary step in survival is what it is. And so you take away money and there's no treadmill. You know, if making a living is easy, then money is less of a concern. Very simple. I mean, this is all simple information. It's nothing mind-blowing, but it's just a chant down of what's directly in our life, in our everyday life. And so, you know, I think that what it is needed to be seen here is the fact that the perspective, again, of the rich-poor paradigm. It all depends on how you grew up. And if you don't have that struggle, then you really haven't been through the humbling process. So there, this show wouldn't make a whole lot of sense because money is everything you live for. But that's it. Money is all you live for, and you must go beyond that. We are people beyond that. We are people beyond the system. And so it's funny, you know, because even like a study I was reading, is money is so corrupt, and even thinking about it can lead people to act in unethical ways. It's a study done through a university that they proved that, and they did some different studies, and it turns out that rich people were more likely to take from others than anyone else because it's that competition. It's just that mindset to keep money too. You know, you go out to if you've ever worked in the restaurant industry, which I have before, and you go and you get tips. At least here in the U.S., you get tips for you know, doing a good job. Or, you know, usually 15-18% gratuity. And the people that tip the worst are the rich people. And see, that's how the rich people stay rich. Is they don't give out money. They don't. They keep it to themselves. And the selfish rich. I mean, not all, but, you know, people have this mentality. And they're usually the most demanding people out there. And, well, eventually, the tables will turn for those people. And those people will be caught with their pants down really bad, especially when, you know, shit hits the fan. And it will hit the fan someday. Well, I was thinking it already would hit the fan, but, you know, things are going at the pace that whatever they want out there, right? That's how it is. But there's a link between cold, hard cash and just seedy behavior. You know, go into any bad neighborhood and you know, the business world with the rich people especially, but going to a poor neighborhood too. I mean, people wouldn't be, women or men, I guess, wouldn't be out prostituting themselves and selling their bodies and doing those things if they weren't, you know, trying to make money. People selling crack to your neighborhood, getting hooked, and if you weren't trying to make money. You know, and so it is the epitome of all evil. Money is evil itself. It corrupts in the brain, and it's not the love of money only. It's money itself corrupts. It creates behavior in people that they wouldn't normally do. It creates egos. You know, it creates this type of mentality like, hey, I have this and you don't. Hey, look at me. You know, look at what I got. It creates this show-off type of mentality. It builds up egos that are built up off having these more digits on a screen somewhere that don't really exist in real life, but it gives you this this powerful life. And we have to survive, yes. We do have to have money, and the more of it, the more or less you're going to think, maybe, you think you're going to think that you're not going to worry about it. But to tell you the truth, the most stressed out people you'll meet and some of the most uptight people you'll meet out there, again, are those that have. And because they are trying to keep it, and they're constantly worried about it. And if it all blew away in the wind, yeah, they'd be devastated, but get them back to simplicity, and eventually their hearts would be more satisfied. So it keeps people from being humble, and that's one of the biggest problems I have about money, is it keeps people from staying humble. It keeps people from their heart. They close their heart. They close their chakras, and it makes it's a false representation of success. In general, money creates this false look of, hey, look, I'm successful, when really we're all successful. We're all amazing humans. But to cultivate that without money is difficult in this world, but it's important to understand that we really don't need money to cultivate that you are successful and you can tap into the real success, the real soul-satisfying feelings. And it does help to take trips, whether it be the journey I've talked about on the show. That would be maybe more in the solutions of this, but just the fact that, yeah, we don't need money to really tap into the realm of the spiritual and the more satisfied. So money makes people weird, too. It changes them. You know, it does. It makes people just changes people. If you ever met somebody who was, that came up from being poor to rich, you know, they change. You know, you ever heard this expression, like, new money? It makes people just weird. It just tweaks their ego. So chant that down. People need to be chanted down fully, and I'm not afraid to chant people down. You know, these strange egos, that really, they need to be laughed at, and they need to be humbled and humiliated. And no, nobody's doing that, but people need to start chanting down these people with their egos and their money, because it's not creating anything good, and people are holding up the third world, holding up this world, so this platform, so those up on top can walk on it. And it's not right, no. So chant it down. Chant down money to the fullest degree. It is the epitome of the wrong actions in this world, and created by the global elite who created this central banking system, even though money did exist before, but this form is the worst one. Sort of lost my train of thought there. I was going to something good, but, well, okay. So but let's just get on to another thing I want to talk about. It's just, you know, it's hard for people to see the simplicity here in the chant down, the simplicity in the breakdown of all this, because we're born into this system, this captivity. It's normal to us. But you have to imagine from the perspective of what I call people beyond, or those of the indigenous, the people who lived on planet Earth, knew how to live here without money, knew how to live successfully, and not those that warred against each other, but the original humans, the original Earth people, which I've mentioned many times on this show, you know, the first people, the real peaceful hunter-gatherer people. You know, imagine them coming into this world suddenly, and, you know, they would ask in their heads, you know, what are they doing? What are all these people doing? You know, all this for running around like crazy. They'd be just like, huh? This is silly. This is silly nonsense. And really, it is silly nonsense. Always a great movie, if you've never checked it out, is The Gods Must Be Crazy. It's a classic movie from the early 80s, and all about a Coke bottle that falls out of a plane into a group of Bushmen and the Kalahari, the sand people, and they find this object. They've never seen civilized man before, and it totally throws them off. It totally throws their whole life cycle off, because they believe the gods only sent one of these objects, and everybody finds a use for it. And anyway, it creates all these new feelings of jealousy. The thought of one of those people seeing the world today and wondering, what's this silly game these people are playing? Like, what? Why are they running around like this? This is the trance. This is the money trance. This is what is the fuel to the fire. And in thinking how could they, the systemites, convince themselves to do all this? You know, how could they convince themselves to live off the land and live so far away from family and different important vital things here to our survival? It just wouldn't make sense to the indigenous people. And you know, that's it. It's just the chant down from that perspective right there. Just looking at the trance and going, wow, this is what we're spending our time doing and our lives doing, and stressing over unnecessary stress. Digits on a screen, people screaming, killing themselves, just destroying their lives over this and never being able to see beyond. And that's where the journey comes in, my friends. If you have not, the psychedelic journey, if you can. If you feel the need and it's part of your path, take it. Check it out, you know, because simple truths come to those on the psychedelics. It's not amazing revelations, but simple truths that are right in your face. And you go, wow, it is an amazing revelation, but it's not amazing to talk about. It's an amazing feeling to feel and understand and connect with. So I do recommend, or, you know, just trips outside the country, the journey in general. Listen to episodes 4, 14, and 22. We had Freeman on episode 22, and 14 had the good friends of the show, AA and Brother Frankie. And we'll continue to bring them on the show. That we'll get them back in the swing of things, too. But anyway, the thing is, the purpose of this episode and show in general is to show you the tangled mess that we live in and that we think is normal. It's just that. It's just a look at this trance we're in, and to snap us out of trance and actually get us into real life. And so, For some people, especially even myself here, getting to a point that I was thinking about the other day, this conspiracy world, this you could say the truth movement, you know, those that look into what is really going on planet Earth and the global elite and how they control and run things, very important and all true. I mean, sift through it, but very, very good. But it seems unreal when you live in this world and just go to work. It seems like that's such a different world. That seems like, can that really happen? And me too. Sometimes I get wrapped up. I've been so busy lately that I kind of forget about some of that stuff. Because I'm so busy and focused on what's right in front of me, I forget about the bigger picture. It's always nice to zoom out and remember again. But it's the same thing with this world. Money creates the illusion. It creates the magic. And the thing is it keeps us on the treadmill so we don't see the rest of it. And so that conspiracy world or any other alternate world just seems unreal and impossible. It seems impossible to think about extraterrestrials working with the government or the whole fact that there's even life out in space, because you're just busy slaving the job, going to the job. And, of course, I went over that on the last show. I don't like to repeat myself too much, but just the simple look at that itself. But so the real world, those that come from the indigenous original people of planet Earth and those that lived a totally different way outside the trance, know that the world is nonlinear. Magic happens through synchronicity. Miracles happen. But money creates this illusion, and it creates the magic within the system. It creates the okay, so I want to go on a trip to New Zealand. All right, so I'm going to save up money, and I'm going to make my magic happen and go. Nothing wrong with that, but the synchronicities, when you don't plan, when things happen in life, and you don't really, not to be passive, but to let the magic of the universe come in. Let the creator supplement you with things that you would have never thought or dreamed about. I mean, and looking at the miracles of life and not forgetting. Because if I went 10 years back and thought of myself doing this radio show, I'd just be like, no way. What? It wouldn't have even been in my mind or my reality at the time to think of, but here I am today. So that's the miraculous world, just a small example, or the synchronicities. The indigenous stayed in the world before money, so they stayed outside the trance. They didn't have this illusion. So it was probably really hard to convince a lot of them to join this. I know that it was in many indigenous lives that people just would like living on the land, and here came this foreign Western way of life. Here, get a job. Here's some slave labor for you. Well, here's some work, you guys, and here's a little bit of money, or straight up slavery. Just chained them up and made them work, but just the convincing that, hey, you don't need to live on the land. Why do you want to live so primitive? Here, just live like this. And it's a crazy thing that somehow these people were convinced, and most of them ran off through genocide and many sorts. But those that remained joined the system, and ancestors warned, but eventually people caved in. It's this system, this trance got too big. So what are the solutions to this problem? What can we do? And realistically too, because this thing is bigger than all of us, and we cannot just go, okay, well, I'm going to quit the system, I'm going to quit making money. It kind of doesn't really work that way. And I mean, yeah, if you quit your job, all right, well, good luck to you. Quit your job and do something of righteous work and try. But most people quit their job, well, they run out of money, kicked out of their house, you know, have to bum around, and it's really not a very ideal life. Not to say that if it's part of your path, then please do. But at the same time, you know, just another person without a home, another person dependent on the system in another way, then no. It's not really a solution like that. And I may have came across negative on my last show saying, you know, the solution that will never happen is a mass quitting of our jobs. Not likely unless something else happens. And that's when things will change, you know, a massive wake-up, probably through, most likely through catastrophe. It's the only way, unfortunately, but a big shift, a big change would bring people into that. But for now, you know, what can we do? What can we do? Well, we can all do our very best. And the thing is, to have a money system means you have some power structure above you that distributes it. And so right there, we cannot have a money system. I mean, if you really want to live beyond this, then we cannot really have a money system. Maybe, you know, in small communities, a currency agreed amongst a few people, such as a village, maybe that would work. You know, maybe. But just showing, and even in studies, how money creates that seedy behavior, it doesn't seem like it works too well. And then there's the bartering system, and there's trading. Well, you know, that does work. I think it does work to a point. But someone is, you know, probably not going to want a bag of onions for some precious stones, or maybe, better yet, a better example would be a deer, maybe some deer meat, or something grown, took a long time, you know, something that, those aren't an equal trade. So it gets a little crazy like that, but have we ever lived that way and tried it? I haven't. So do I really know? No, I don't. But I think that trading is, in a cashless way, is a good, it's a good practice. I think that it does have some benefits if it's done right. There can be some shadiness involved in that too, though. So is there exactly an answer? No, but we need to get away from money. At least we need to try. Better yet, become self-sustainable. You know, try to grow your own food and try to stop relying on the grocery stores and all that. And that's difficult because that requires land. But it doesn't mean that you, with your rental or my rental, cannot grow a garden. Certainly you can grow a garden, and you can grow a pretty big garden. Depends on where you live, but there are creative ways, even in these concrete jungles we live in, to do some interesting gardening, and we can all do it. You know, rooftop gardening, community gardening. But to try to totally live that way, it is difficult. And have I got there? No. But I think it's the first step in the right direction is to become more self-sustainable. Quit relying on the grocery stores, truck in food from a long ways away, and just paying for that mass consumption. It helps to grow your own food. And, of course, you're going to need more than vegetables and fruits to survive. You're going to need, depends on how you live, if you're vegetarian or not, meat or some kind of proteins. And, of course, it gets more complicated. And land is the hard part because the land is all owned. So it is a difficult situation there. But trying to get more self-sustainable, besides growing your own food, well, you're eating straight from the nutrient source. And if you haven't experienced that before, yeah, give it a shot. It's amazing. But I enjoy one of the in radio show hosts I've enjoyed that helped kind of finalize my perspective or just put it into better words than I could ever do is the radio show host Mark Passio. What in the world is happening? Or what is it called? I forget. I don't think I'm getting it right. But what on earth is happening? That's it. Mark Passio. Great show host and lecturer. I was listening to his lecture on natural law, and one of the things that he was saying are the important is the spiritual currencies, and what those things are. There's two important things: time and attention. And this guy always puts things into the best words. You know, things that I'd want to put into words, but I can't even think to put into words. So, awesome guy. If you haven't checked out what he has to say about a lot of things, I mean, I'm going to try to get him on the show for an episode. I'll work on that to get him on. But awesome, you know, time and attention. That's it. I mean, what are we spending our time on, and what are we paying attention to? And so, it's making an investment. I mean, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If you're watching TV all day, then you are spending your time on that and paying attention to that, then you regurgitate out crap, right? So spending your time and attention on things that are of value, you get value back. I mean, if you go to the gym and you work out every day and do bench press, you're going to get bigger and stronger. So you're paying your attention to that and spending your time, and you're growing. But they better yet to be spending our time on things that actually mean something. So, you know, educating yourself, in bettering yourself, becoming a better human in spirit, body, mind, all that together, and putting together a life that is uniquely to you, regardless of what the world says, regardless of the money system. Do it for you. Pay attention to what needs to be paid attention to and throw out the rest. And that's what the system tentacles is all about. It's about taking the bad away and keeping the good. And so determining what is bad is just you out there, you know, plucking these tentacles as we go and realizing, okay, I shouldn't be eating this. It has aspartame in it. All right, let's take that out of my life. You know, the slow process of elimination and putting in the valuable things in our body, just as an example. But spending our time watching junk on TV doesn't give us anything. But if you spend your time reading a book about something of improvement in your life, spending your time and attention on things that embetter your life and those around you, that is real currency. That is what it is. What are we spending our spiritual currency on, and what are we getting back in return? You know, time is valuable, and that's another show that I'm going to be starting on soon, is the system tentacle time. But time, spending our time surviving, that's what we work on, is we spend our time surviving and not paying attention. It's time to switch this around and take your life back. Like I was saying on the last episode, take your life back. Quit your, if your job doesn't go with what you appreciate in life, or your doesn't resonate with you, then throw it out and do something that you love, and things will follow. You know, that's where the miraculous comes in. That's where the journey comes in. So step out on a limb. I encourage all of you out there, step out on a limb and go with your heart. Your heart's never wrong. You have to develop a sense of listening to it, but it's never wrong. You know, I've gone out on limbs, and lately, you know, just trusting my heart and knowing that it was right the whole time, and it was, and that's an awesome thing. So just do that, live by that, and maybe you won't get financially blessed, but chant that down anyway. Maybe you will. Maybe money will come on your path by doing something unique, but you know, that's the thing. We die a carbon copy of what this system is designing us to do, but we come out these brand new, amazing beings and die a carbon copy. We got to stop this process and re-examine and be autodidex and chant it down. So that's my little rant today here on the money trance. We got to snap this trance, get out of it, do your thing, do your life. Line it up with what resonates with you, and as long as you're not hurting anyone else and it's morally right, go for it and do life and inspire yourself. If you want to do music for a living, do music for a living, and F all the others. You know, do what you want to do, and when it comes from the heart, people feel it and they know it. And that's just the truth, and the truth is what this show is all about. It's all about the truth. So keep on chanting down, my friends. Until next time, keep on chanting down. And I'll try to do more episodes as much as I can. And keeping the world with the chant down on the forefront of the mind. So much love. And keep it going on. And I encourage you to try the other episodes. You know, get into some of the archives, and if you haven't yet, you know, just go to Google up Chantadown Radio. You can go to get an iTunes feed and just listen to the shows, and get out there and don't just listen to the show. Get out there and live real life. But if you like to a little more chanting down in your life and you don't have it, hey man, you know, do what you got to do. But much love, and until we meet again, aloha.
right here, you know you get farther. Mountain streams and warm ocean water. Boundaries, my focus is stronger. Boundaries are broken in progress. How you think depends on how caught up. Doubt your dreams defeat your high calling. Boundaries high within the green forest. Now it's time for us to move toward it. Out right here, you know you get farther. People beyond.
Are you awake now?
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Waking up!
Are you awake now? Are you awake now?
To confirm?
Are you awake now?